It is now 9:08 here at WCCO. Welcome back to Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it. We do it every Sunday night, and I'm always excited about the guests that we have. Take a listen to this song. You know this song. A lot of people know this song, and we are so excited to have Terry Walsh join us tonight from his frequent gigs with the Belfast Boys or jamming with his brother Jim. But Tuesday night, he gets to be the opening act for one of his heroes, Graham Parker, and that's the music you just heard a moment ago. And the name of that song, I should let you know, is called Local Girls. Graham Parker coming, man. And Parker, of course, of the 1970s punk fame, still has a cult following, as evidenced by the sold-out gig on Tuesday night at the Dakota. Really quite remarkable. And I'm so excited to have you back on with us, Terry. How are you?
Hi, Geraldine. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. This must be exciting, man. This is one of your heroes.
Oh, you got that right. Yeah, I can't believe it. I when I was in high school, I just down the road from the Dakota, I was at KBEM FM. I went to school there for radio broadcasting and kind of flunked out of that. But that's where I learned about Graham Parker and listened to his music. And man, if you had told me that all this time later I would be opening for him down the road at the Dakota, I would have, my eyes would have bugged out. So it is a real thrill.
I can just imagine. So this is happening this coming Tuesday?
Yep, this Tuesday. I think doors are at 5:30, and I should go on at 7 o'clock and play about a 2-minute set or something, get out of the way for Graham.
A two-minute set? Yeah?
Well, maybe a little longer, but I'm as anxious to see him as anybody else, so I don't want to take any of his time away. I can't wait. It's been too long since we've gotten to see him here in town. This show was originally scheduled to go on last year, but we all know what happened there. So it's nice that it's coming around again.
Is he going to be solo or a band? With a band?
I think, he's just going to be solo this time. Last time I saw him at the Dakota, he had the Rumor with him. But this time he's solo. He's great solo too. He has a little more room to tell stories and it's always fun. He does that at Brit's Pub. Well, he has done that at Brit's Pub up until, I guess 2019 was the last time. Once a year for Bastille Day, their celebration, and up on the bowling lawn up there.
And the Dakota, right?
Beautiful. Oh man. Yeah. It's a blast. And then the Cowboys, the Belfast Cowboys opened for him and he joined us on a few songs, for several years. It's pretty surreal. I getting to talk to the guy and I've even asked him about, like, there's one of his songs from his first album that I've done for years. And I didn't realize until, I saw him play it alone. It's called Between You and Me. And I was getting one of the lyrics wrong. And I afterwards said, Graham, is that line when this split came to be? And he says, yeah. You know, I was like, I thought it was this bit, you know? So weird. I mean, I've been singing it wrong for 40 years or something like that now. So,
welcome to my world, honey. Welcome. By the way, we're talking about Graham Parker. Of course, he's going to be at the Dakota on Tuesday, October 12th at 7 p.m. He is going solo. However, Terry Walsh, who's joining us right now, is going to share that stage with him. How many songs are you going to do with him?
Well, I don't know if he's going to do anything with me. I'd certainly love to have him on there, but I haven't been too nervous to ask him about it. But he has sung some Van Morrison songs with me before. Maybe we'll get him to do one of those, maybe Tupelo Honey or something like that. But in any case, he confided in me in an email recently that he's nervous about this. He hasn't played many shows at all in the past couple of years. So he's actually got some butterflies going. So I'm not going to be the only one, I guess.
And that's going to make for a great show, by the way. You know, you get butterflies, you got a great show. It's really exciting. So congratulations on joining him on this. It is already sold out. I hope they stream it or something. I hope people get a chance to hear a little tidbit of something. But if not, just know I'm really grateful that it's sold out. And I want to tell people a little bit about your nonprofit. I think it's called Foothold Twin Cities.
You got it exactly right. Yeah, we pass the hat every Tuesday night. I'm playing hooky this week, obviously. But my guys, the St. Dominic's Trio, they're going to play in my stead without me, and they're going to be just fine without me, believe me. But we pass the hat every Tuesday and live stream it, and it's been amazing how much money we've raised every week. Last week it was over $2,000.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wild. This nonprofit has been going for 6 years now. My co-conspirator Amber and I started this 6 years ago, and 100% of everything that comes in goes right out to local families in crisis. So,
and there are so many in crisis right now. So I'm grateful that
more and more every day.
So those that are in crisis that may be listening tonight, where do they go if they want more information?
Well, they need to be referred by like a social worker or an education or medical professional. So we need to have a go-between that can refer them to us, and then and they also have to have at least one child under the age of 18 that's been living with them for at least a year, a family member. So it's really to help families. And if we get somebody that's a good source and that can verify you and you're needing to make rent, we can pay one bill one time and try and help you get a foothold and try and kept a lot of people from going homeless, at least for a month. And sometimes a month is all it takes for them to get, you know, if you've ever been poor, you get your month rent paid for a month. It can do a heck of a lot to keep you from getting completely left out in the cold, literally.
Yeah, literally. And with Minnesota's winter coming, it's a good thing to hear that FootholdTwinCities.org is working towards making sure we have something. Really appreciate you joining us tonight, Terry. You're going to have a blast with your idol, Graham Parker. Have fun. Enjoy.
Thanks so much. It's great to talk to you again.
All right. You too. And, of course, this is happening at the Dakota, you guys. The tickets are all sold out, so you can't get a ticket, but hey, I'm just hoping they give us a little tidbit of something we can listen to. Come on. We're going to take a break, and Rohan Preston is next. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe that Rohan Preston is back with us here at WCCO for Center Stage. And I have to tell you a little bit about him because it's been so long since you heard his voice. So who is Rohan Preston? Well, he spent his childhood in Jamaica and adolescence in New York before earning an English degree at Yale University. He has served on the Pulitzer Prize jury for drama, and he has been a Star Tribune theater critic for more than two decades. How about that? Welcome back, Rohan. How you be?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you. It's good to be reminded of who I am. I haven't had an intro of me in so long.
It's so true because it's been so long since we've seen you or talked to you. So it's been a busy week of deadlines for you. And at the Star Tribune, you are one of the main contributors for theater. And from Frozen to the latest work at the Old Log Theater, you are back reviewing these shows. It's got to feel great.
It does. I have to say, I mean, I have missed it. I really quicken and, you know, feel my pulse in theater and in being immersed in the arts. And it's really, really wonderful to go, even if we're all masked up and, you know, going through all the protocols and COVID this and that. And it's just wonderful. It's really wonderful.
You know, I took my two granddaughters to go see Frozen, and I thought it was a remarkable show. I came out of there raving about it. What did you think?
Oh, I ditto. I mean, we first of all, it's a Disney show, which means that the design is going to be pretty overwhelming. There's a lot of amazing spectacle. There's a lot of magic in it. And on top of all of that, we have Caroline Innerbistler here, who's from here, and she is phenomenal. She is giving an amazing, amazing performance. Really, really captures all the magic. And her Princess Anna is very Minnesota, very down to earth. wants to be in the background, not really always sure of herself. Even though she's a princess, she's more like, I'm the spare, not the heir.
There you go. Right. And the thing about it is that she really enjoyed being Anna the princess. She never wanted to be the queen. So to see how that all unfolded in this piece was quite remarkable. The set design was spectacular.
Oh my goodness.
And it was hilarious. Goodness. Did you laugh out loud many times? I know I did.
I did. You know, I really, my wife and I went, we went as adults and we were just the two of us and we had a blast. It was a wonderful, wonderful production that really captured us just as theater goers. And I have to say, I mean, there is a joy in just being able to go see a show and being able to be in the theater again. And so if it were not up to snuff, it would still be a joy to go back. But when it's something this good and so just so transporting, then you really want to sing to the mountaintops about it.
It's so true. And I have to tell you, you know, I'm interviewing Ron Peluso of the History Theater, founder and artistic director. And, you know, he writes these plays about things that happen in Minnesota. And when I first landed in Minnesota many years ago, 44, I was just shocked at this whole NIMBY, you know, not in my neighborhood. And that's the new piece that's premiering this Thursday night. And I want to go see it because this was the thing that was talked about when I first landed here. People used to say, not my neighborhood, honey. No, not my neighborhood. And that I don't hear it much anymore. Do you?
No, but, you know, we have done a series on sort of housing policies and all of that stuff. And there's at the paper and what you find is that, you know, there are these long standing things that influence and have influenced deep into the future. And so we hear now about talk of remedies, basically, how do we integrate and become a holistic community. When we think of everyone, we think of everyone, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
and
so,
we depend on
so
that
I think,
from.
I think, you know, what I love, you've been here 43, 44 years. I'm 20 years after you. And so I'm a Minnesotan now, and I've lived here longer than I've lived anywhere else in my life. And
my
kids are both here. And so I'm deeply invested in this community. I love this community. And I think what I also appreciate is that there is a desire to do better and to be better. You know, to quote Paul Wellstone, you know, we all do better when we all do better. You know?
Exactly. Well said. I want the T-shirt. Yeah. Okay, so now I want to talk to you about theater when it comes to COVID protocols. Some of the smaller theaters are trying to figure it all out. You know, it's not like we're social distancing anymore. We're sitting next to each other. So those that are fully vaccinated say, hey, I don't need to have a mask on. Great. Those that need a mask on don't always put a mask on, right? And even with the children that come to the theater. So is that a challenge for you as a critic?
Okay, so there's so many things. For professional companies, equity has requirements that are mandated, and then the health departments have requirements. So I went to the OLOG today, and there masks are suggested. They were not required. So that's one model. I sat in the back away from everyone.
Right.
Then it's just me. And then I went to the Orpheum for Frozen, and you know, you need your vaccination card or a negative COVID test. Masks are required through all of it. They no longer require, you can't take drinks in anymore into the auditorium, or food,
right,
or cookies, or anything, you know. So it is as you say, all over the board. And I haven't been to the children's theaters yet, but of course, children under 12 can't be vaccinated. I think that's about to change with one of the, I think it's Pfizer.
Right, Pfizer doing. I think it's 11 years old and up. Yeah. Something like that.
So, but yeah, it's a hodgepodge thing. It is concerning. I know people who have had breakthrough cases, and that's partly from going to big events, even, you know, masked up and protected. And of course, the vaccine doesn't stop you from getting it, just stops you from getting the most serious consequences.
That's so true. Mm-hmm. You know? I'm glad you said that, because people need to remember that. Absolutely. Yes. All of us.
Yes. So it is a concern. We knock on wood, we've been very blessed and fortunate, but also we've been hermits for most of this pandemic. You know, we've not seen people. I did see my, I went to the inauguration of the president of McAllister College yesterday.
Oh, bravo!
Yeah, her name is Suzanne Rivera, and she's a bioethicist and extremely impressive. Just a great, great speech. But there, you know, we were all spread out, and it was mostly, for most people, it was watching online. And so that is another thing. It's like we've come out of this with all these new tools, but nothing beats live in-person theater. You know?
It's so true. And blessings to you. I know you are excited about this. I know I am. And I'm going to try to get out and support artists, period, as much as I can. And for those of you that are worried about it, there are protocols. You can look it up. Any theater you want to go to, you can go on their website and see what their COVID protocols are. So I encourage people to do that as well. Rohan, I have missed you. Tell your wife I said, hey.
I've been listening, and, you know, it's been great. You've been having fun, you know. It's wonderful, and it's also great to hear when you have Michael on.
Yeah, I love that hour. You know, it's my favorite. So I do hope that you'll come out and see as many people as possible, because a lot of artists are just waiting to have that audience and out there to listen, hear, whatever. Even if you're going to see the Poet Laureate, whatever you have to do, just enjoy, because arts are back.
Oh. I live for it, and you know, it's been a hunger that I have to overcompensate for over the past 18 months. So, yes, I will be out at almost anything I can be, you know.
Well, I'll be looking for you.
The old log was really good, it was a farce. And sometimes you need that. You know, the Guthrie just opened What the Constitution Means to Me.
Yes, I
saw that. Yet. I saw it on Broadway. I will see that as well. So there is just a ton. It's beautiful. It's wonderful, you know.
Well, I can't wait to have you on next Sunday. I hope you have time, and just take care of yourself. It really is a pleasure to say hello and hear your voice again.
Thank you. It's a delight to always be with you. So thank you so much.
That is Rohan Preston, lead theater critic over at the Star Tribune. If you want more information, just go to startribune.com/Rohan. That's R-O-H-A-N Preston. All right, we'll be back in a moment with some weather. Welcome to All Things Arts and Entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it, and we have some great lineups already. You've heard a couple of our guests, and I'm so excited because the History Theater in St. Paul is back at work. The show is premiering on Thursday night, and of course it is called Not in My Neighborhood, as you heard Rohan Preston and I talk about it just a moment ago. And it's longtime artistic director Ron Peluso who is joining us tonight with a preview of the show that sheds the light on an an ugly chapter in Twin Cities history. Welcome back, Ron Peluso. Oh, my goodness, it's great to hear your voice.
Well, Geraldine, it's great to hear your voice as well. Yeah, 18 months and we're coming back.
We're coming back, thank goodness. And some of the theaters are really filling up, and everyone is so excited about it. I've had a chance to go to one so far, but I am surely trying to come to see Not in My Neighborhood. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, the play title is actually Not in Our Neighborhood.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's all right. It's played by Eric Wood and Tom Fable. Takes place in 1924. William Minnelli Francis. They were prominent members of the Rondo neighborhood. And they had the audacity to decide they want to move to an all-white neighborhood in St. Paul, the Groveland Park area. Mm-hmm. And they were met with ugly resistance, but they managed to persevere, and they were remarkable people.
You know, here's the thing. A lot of people that come here migrate to Minnesota, come to the Twin Cities, and they learn a lot about our history. And that's what the History Theater does. You reflect on or bring to the attention and help us learn or remember what has happened in the past here in our great state. Some of the shows that you do are hilarious and wonderful, and you are inspired, and others really hurt. Is this one of those that could hurt?
You know, I think we need to learn from our history. That's really important. And I had a patron write me the other day and just said, you know, why are you always pointing out the ugly side of the world?
Oh, not always, and, not at all.
And, well, I say, yeah, we don't always do that, but it's important, you know, this is the greatest country in the world, and yet we had our problems, we still have our problems, and we need to look back and see how we can continue to learn from those ugly chapters. And this is one of those. But it's also a story about Nellie and William, who kind of rose above all that. It's also a love story. And and Nellie, William Green just put out a book about Nellie. Bill Green, former superintendent of schools and professor of history at Augsburg, he writes this really lovely tribute to Nellie Francis. And if anybody's listening out there, there should be a school named after her. She was one of the women responsible for women getting the right to vote in Minnesota in 1919, and also made sure an anti-lynching bill actually got on the books. And if it wasn't for her, that never would have happened.
My goodness, you're right. Should be named after her. I would love to learn more about her, that's for sure. And do we hear a lot about her in this piece?
We do. It's Erin Nicole Farsty plays her, and Darius Dotch plays William. So the two of them are really a power couple. I mean, he was a lawyer in St. Paul and partially responsible for the election of Republican Warren G. Harding. Calvin Coolidge, sorry.
Calvin Coolidge.
So it's 1924, and he would become one of the first African-American ambassadors in this country. Ambassador to Liberia. So an important couple to learn about beyond just the actions of the play.
You know, a lot of people may not even know or don't talk about it, but, you know, the two parties, the liberal and the conservative, or the Democrats and the Republicans, were two totally different types of parties back then than they are today, with those same names of Democratic Party and Democrats and the Republicans. So there's a lot to learn in this piece, I'm sure. Now, this is going to premiere on Thursday night. How long does it run?
Yeah, we open Thursday night the 14th, 7:30, and we play it's a short run. We decided when we came back, this show was on the docket for last year of 2020. This play doesn't have an intermission. It's like a long one act of an hour and 10 minutes. And we thought, well, coming back from COVID and after all the unrest last summer, we need to examine who we are as Americans and also do a show that maybe we don't have to worry about concessions and restrooms. So come and enjoy the theater. Wear a mask. We're all asking for proof of vaccination or a test that proves negative in the last 72 hours. And take a chance and witness some history here.
Witness some history. It's so important that we know our history and that we hear and understand it. So I'm so grateful for the History Theater. How many years has it been so far?
Well, this is, I think, 43.
You think 43?
You know, we've been telling stories for a long time, and these are important times to tell important stories.
I want to get it right. So the show is premiering on Thursday night at 7:30?
That's right.
All right. It's called
Through
the 24th. It's called Not in Our Neighborhood at the History Theater. Can you give us the address right quick, please?
Yeah, we were 30 East 10th Street here in downtown St. Paul, right below the state capitol.
Yeah, you've been there for a while. And, of course, historytheater.com is the website, correct? And if people want to call the box office, is that possible?
They certainly can. And buy tickets online as well. So
okay.
Go to our website for all that information, and you'll see our information about the COVID protocol as well.
Excellent. Ron, it's always a pleasure. Tell your wife I said hello as well.
I certainly will, Jalen. You take care, and best to your family.
Best to you, too. Thank you, Ron. All right. If you want to hear or get the information, more information, just go to History Theater. That's T-H-E-A-T-R-E. HistoryTheater.com, and go check it out, Not in Our Neighborhood. All right, we're going to take a break, and Vocal Essence is going to join us next. One of my favorite songs. Oh, I'm so glad you played this, Jonathan. Well, this is all about Vocal Essence. Next weekend at Orchestra Hall, there will be music, there will be dance, and there will be plenty of smiles as the Vocal Essence Chorus, ensemble singers, and singers of this age, Minnesota Dance Theater, and a chamber instrumental ensemble and an exuberant return to music with audience is going to happen. Now, longtime Vocal Essence leader Philip Brunel takes time to join us with a preview of the Hope Lives Here show. Hey, my friend, how are you?
Oh, my dear. I love to hear your voice. I am just fine, Geraldine. Thank you so much.
It's so great to have you join us. There's so many great things that are happening for Vocal Essence. So we might as well jump right in and talk about it. You must be beaming every day.
Well, I'll tell you, when last night we were at those Upper Midwest Regional Emmys, and we knew we were up for an award, but, you know, you don't know if you're going to get it. There are other people that are nominated. And then all of a sudden they announced that Vocal Essence has won has won this Emmy Award for our Welcome Christmas that we did last December on TPT. And I'm going like, wow. And then you get this beautiful gold statue. I mean, that was really something.
Wow. Bravo, bravo. It's just so amazing. And the feeling of it, I mean, you must be just, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Everyone involved must have been overwhelmed by it all. And so congratulations, Philip. Just
thank you. You know, the thing that I loved among the people who responded to me was Don Shelby, who sent me an email and just said, what you won is the gold standard in the business.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, I was kind of like, oh, I mean, I didn't go in there expecting we would win. I just thought, how nice to be nominated, you know? But there it was.
Yeah, and so now you'll be grinning for weeks, let me tell you. You'll be grinning for weeks because you should. It's big. It's huge here in the great state of Minnesota. So congratulations on that. And so much more is happening for Vocal Essence. To know that Hope Lives Here is going to be showing. Tell us about it.
Well, you know, we're so thrilled that we can be back inviting an audience in person, inviting singers, though they're still masked, to get up and perform at Orchestra Hall. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really exciting. And we wanted to do a program that would help people now not say, oh, dear, what have we been through? Oh, dear. But rather say, we have a promise of hope for the future. That's what we have. And let's celebrate that hope. And so the ensemble singers, the chorus, are young people, the singers of this age, Minnesota Dance. I mean, we're all coming together. Then I thought, what can we perform? And there's this fabulous piece. I'm sure everybody in the audience, they've heard part of it, even if they don't know it, and that's Leonard Bernstein's Chichester Psalms, because there's one part that everybody goes, oh, my word, oh, yes, yes, yes. So we're going to do that with orchestra, and I've never known it done with dancers all. So we got 13 dancers from Minnesota Dance that are going to be on stage with us. And then this is the anniversary year of Piazzolla. Here's another name. People would say, I don't know that name. And I would go, yes, you do. You just maybe don't know his name. But he composed these four tangos that are usually heard with just orchestra. But we're doing it with singers and dancers. And I thought, come on. Dance. I mean, it's tango.
It's
so
tango.
I don't know, Geraldine, if you're free to do the tango as well.
No, darling. No.
Yeah, well, you know what? Me either. Don't worry. I'm just going to conduct it. There's no way you'd have me. But you know, I have to tell you, when I was down in Buenos Aires some years ago, and I took along with me, I had an article from the New York Times, and it showed these people doing tango, and I thought, oh, that's kind of nice. So I brought it along and thought, maybe I'll see somebody on a street corner. Well, I turned the corner, and here are these two people dancing, and I went, wait a minute. I looked at my article. It was them. Mm. And they finished dancing, and I walked over and said, here is an article. And they went, we remember when they came and took our photo, but we never heard another word. And I said, here's the article. Please keep it. They were so thrilled. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you, the tango is well known. Most people can't do it, unfortunately. Ah. But I will say this. You would appreciate this. Heart of Dance is the name of an organization where they go into schools. And these schools, they teach the children how to do the tango and all of these other dances. And it has changed their lives. Dance changes our life. Music changes our lives. And
absolutely,
to know that you're bringing all of that together, that's going to be a great night. That's going to be a great night. So tell us when, where.
I'm so happy that we can be at Orchestra Hall next Saturday at 4 o'clock. And if people have not gotten their tickets yet, please call 612-371-5642. Or just call Vocal Essence and we'll help you find out how to get there.
Exactly. You always make sure of that. Congratulations.
Absolutely.
On the regional Emmy. Congratulations on still going in the midst of all of this pandemic. We are winning, right? Because we have to do the arts. We have to do what we were put here to
absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely. Music is what is going to continue to bring us together, whether it's instrumental or singing or dancing. We need music. And Minnesota's the place to do it. I mean, people, when I travel around the USA, they all go, oh, you're from Minnesota. That's that big music state. And I go, yes, that's us.
Do they know that they're talking to the king of the music? Of the choral groups? Do they know?
He's talking to the queen. Come on now.
No, darling. I am so excited for you. And I got to ask before I let you go, is there a new album in your future with Vocal Essence?
Well, we're hoping, yes, that we can do. I mean, now that we've won this Emmy, we're hoping we could do another Christmas one because that was such a hit when we did it. So if we can, but we've got a couple other projects down the road. And you know, in March, is when that group, the Aeolians, are coming. That phenomenal black choir from Alabama. So we've got plans for the future. Absolutely.
You always do, sir. You always do. And of course, I'm going to do my best to get there and support you. Thank you so much for all that you do for music here in the great state of Minnesota. Don't stop.
And you too, my dear. Thank you.
Keep going, Philip. If people want more information, one more time, where do they go?
612-371-5642. 1-800-242.
And can they get tickets at vocalessons.org?
Yep.
Awesome. You take care of yourself. Great. Tell your wife hello.
I will do. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. That is our own Philip Brunel. And yes, he is famous all over the world. He really is. It's remarkable how he has gone from country to country, bringing back their music, presenting it with Vocal Essence in concerts and so much more. And if you did not get a chance to see their Christmas special last year, I implore you to go on their website and see if you can find it and watch it now. And I'm sure it's going to play again, or at least I hope it will play again for this Christmas as well. So it is beautifully done, just beautifully done. And they actually do some choreography. You just got to see it. You have to see it.
30 years ago this fall, a law professor named Anita Hill testified about sexual harassment at Clarence Thomas's Supreme Court confirmation hearings. Now, Because of Anita tells the real story of what happened and what's changed. You'll hear from journalists, witnesses, and activists, and listen in on the first public conversation between Professor Hill and Dr. Christine Blasey Ford. That's Because of Anita, a production of Pineapple Street Studios and The Meteor, out now wherever you get your podcasts.